Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, August the 25th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour, and a very warm day it will be in what they're calling the warmest week of the year, and possibly the warmest day of the year today. Those hazy, daisy, lazy, any word you can put a Y on the end of, dog days of summer. Now, we've got a story right off the bat here this morning that really is unlike anything I've ever covered in my many years of covering the Marion political scene. Let me give you a little background, and then we're going to go right to it here this morning, because I want to let the citizens of Marion know what I know at this particular point. Mayor Scott Schertzer was on the program yesterday, and he confirmed that the state auditors were indeed in Marion right now, and they wanted to have a meeting with him, and he believed that this had something to do with City Auditor Robert Landon, and who knows what else it might have had to do with. Now, that meeting was scheduled for 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Now, we had him on yesterday morning from 9 until 10, so that meeting had not happened. Now, the meeting happened yesterday at 2:30. I got a call from the mayor. I had sent an email. When you know something, let us know. He called, and he came in last night, which I certainly do appreciate. The mayor came in the studio last evening at around 7:30, took time from his night, and he gave me an interview on what happened in that meeting. And I would have to say this is a very, very, very telling interview at this particular point. The interview runs about 24 minutes here, so we're going to get into it. We'll take phone calls after, but this is my interview with Mayor Scott Schertzer that I taped last night at right around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I timestamped the interview so you'll know exactly when it was taped. But here we go, Mayor Scott Schertzer in the studio here last night, and here's what happened at that 2:30 meeting yesterday with the state auditors. And take it away. This is Scott Spears with WWGH Radio. We are taping this interview on Tuesday, August 24th, 2021 at 7:48 p.m. Earlier today, we had Mayor Scott Schertzer live on the morning program, Now with Scott Spears, and there was to be a meeting this afternoon between Mayor Schertzer and the state auditor regarding some issues with the current city auditor, Robert Landon, and the city of Marion. Mayor Schertzer has very graciously come to the studio tonight to let us know what happened in that meeting. Mayor, thank you for coming over tonight, and I guess what happened?
Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you so much. You know, I have been in public service for quite some time now, first as a city councilman and most recently as mayor for the past few terms. And I've always ascribed to a philosophy of tell it all, tell it first, and tell it yourself. And I think that's very important in this situation, because you and I have discussed in depth some of the challenges that have faced the city because of the current Marion City Auditor. And let me just be clear that I did not ask for this meeting. The state auditors asked for the meeting, and I will tell you exactly who is in that meeting. Myself, the city treasurer, Deputy Auditor Martin Watts, of course, representing the city auditor's office. And then there were two teams from the state auditor's office. Team one is the GAAP team, and GAAP is Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. And so the GAAP team, they have to do their thing before they can pass off the baton to the audit team. And I won't get all the names of the state auditors correct, but Belinda kind of heads up the GAP team. And she was the one that requested this meeting today. And then Judy heads up the audit team for Auditor Faber of the state of Ohio. And so we proceeded to have this meeting. And I guess the first question that I had is are the books balanced from 2020? Because yes, it's 2021, but they go back in time a year to audit last year's books. And of course, in 2020, it was the first year of the new city auditor being in that position. And so it's crucial to know that he was there the whole time in 2020. And what I got from the state auditors was the answer when I asked the question, are the books balanced? And they said there is no documented evidence given to the state auditors as such. So interpret that how you want, but I interpret that as it's questionable whether the 2020 books are even audited. And because I had my directors there, I had Director Randy Carrier, excuse me, I had Director Jim Bischoff and Service Director Kathy Chaffin, who your listeners may know is the former Deputy Auditor under the Carr administration. And it's a good thing that Kathy works for my administration because she brings a wealth of knowledge and understanding of the things that the state auditors were asking us in today's meeting. And I had some more questions. For example, how often in a calendar year should you reconcile the books? And I guess the generally acceptable accounting principle is every month. You should do it every month. You shouldn't wait until the year's over and then try and reconcile. We are in month 8 of 2021. And apparently, it seems as if the books are not reconciled for 2020. If you had been doing them every month, you would have them in a file, ready to hand off to the GAP auditors, so the GAP auditors can do their job. The GAP auditors hand it off to the next team of the state auditor's office, and you get your audit done. Now, timing is also very crucial here, and this is where I wanted to know from the auditors today is what happens if the audit can't be completed in a timely manner? And we talked about what a timely manner is. I think we talked this morning how we've already asked for our second extension. I have a document here in front of me signed by myself and the city auditor, Robert Landon, dated 7/30/21. And that was requesting a second extension. And that extension was granted to 8/31/2021, 1 week from today. So we're probably going to have to ask for an unprecedented third extension. And when you're asking for three extensions when they haven't even started the audit, that throws up all kinds of red flags. Because September 30th, there's another very important document that the city has to have filed with the federal government. And that document is so important that it qualifies us for federal funding. And if this audit is not completed, the city audit is not completed in time to file the federal documentation, then we are now jeopardizing federal funds coming to the city of Marion. And that is what is so monumentally important to understand, that that will now impact the safety and security of the city of Marion. Because in the police department, we get a federal COPS grant that pays for police officers. In the fire department, we get a SAFER grant from the federal government that pays for firefighters. We get federal money from the Federal Aviation Administration, which helps with capital projects at the Marion Municipal Airport. I think a month ago we talked about the $1.8 million that we got from FAA for projects. I don't think this is going to jeopardize that money because those projects are well underway this year and will be completed this year. But future federal aviation money could be in jeopardy. It's also going to impact the Marion Area Transit because we get federal dollars to help subsidize the transit program. Also, the senior center and definitely the senior transportation are totally federal dollars out there. So you can see what would happen if we did not qualify for any more federal dollars. We're probably, and I'm going to ballpark, we're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 million of federal funds in a, we'll call it a $18 million general fund city budget. $2.5 million could go away in 2022 or 2023. We don't know when and if the federal government will pull the plug on us, but getting this audit done is crucial into making sure that they don't even consider pulling the plug.
Now, the dates on this, again, I think are important. The deadline to have this audit done for the federal money is when?
I'm told that the documentation to the feds has to be in by September 30th, which means that the city audit has to be done before that. How much before that? I don't know. These are documents that the city auditor has traditionally, typically, and historically filled out.
So September 30th, about 5 to 6 weeks from now, and the books for the city that would need to be used for this application are at this point, what would you say?
Incomplete.
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 And do we know how incomplete they are?
Well, again, I can only refer to you what the state auditor told me. No, no documented evidence to give any suggestion that the books have been reconciled for 2020.
So at this point, what do you think? I mean, I know this is just hours after the fact, but where do we go from here so $2.5 million is not lost?
No, you're right. It's not lost because those are vital services that we provide to our seniors, not only in the city but the county, to those that need help with transportation, and obviously our safety forces and the police and fire department. You know, aviation, you know, that's an important economic development tool that we often use. We didn't even have a chance to talk about the council approving the sale of 19 acres at the Airport Industrial Park to expand Boise Cascade. They chose the Airport Industrial Park for a reason, obviously. That's a great question. I guess at this point in time, Deputy Auditor Watts was going to go back to the city elected auditor and inform him of the gravity of the situation and try to impress upon him how important this audit is and what do we need to do and how can my team, my staff, and my administration be helpful. And I can't stress this enough. We're here to help. We're not here to do his job.
Did Mr. Watts have any comment on this?
Hey, you know, I'm starting to feel sorry for Mr. Watts. He has been put in an almost impossible situation here. These books should have been reconciled and presented to the GAP team weeks ago. So you can't use the excuse of COVID or I didn't know, or any other plethora of excuses that one might come up with. Dereliction of duty comes to mind, misfeasance and malfeasance, gross incompetency. Take your pick. I think they're all applicable potentially.
Did he give any insight, Mr. Watts, at this point? Did he have any clue that this was not done?
That would be unfair of me to answer such a question on behalf of Mr. Watts. I've tried to be very fair in this situation with everybody involved, and I will do my very best to maintain that fairness and professionalism.
With everything we have heard, over the last year. Can the city continue to operate like this?
So you asked me two questions this morning that I wasn't really sure about, and one is, you know, what effect, impact does this have on the voters and the taxpayers? I think we've now gone through some of that. You know, it impacts your safety and your services if you rely on those that I just mentioned. And if you're a taxpayer, you should be enraged that an elected official is not performing their duties that they were elected to do. The second thing, how it impacts the voters and the taxpayers, is this is potentially could have a profound impact on our bond rating. We're sitting with a double A bond rating right now. That's really good. And the economy is strong in Marion. The unemployment rate in Marion County I saw today is hovering around, I don't know, 5.5, I think it was. I may be off a tenth of a percentage point. Forgive me if I am. So we're doing really well on so many areas. And we're doing so many positive things in the community that not being able to borrow money to do the sewer infrastructure could be devastating. In fact, the Fourth Ward Councilman just the other night asked the Public Works Director, once the wastewater treatment plant is done, when are we going to get started on the next project? Well, it'll take a little while. We're not going to turn right around and start the next one because we have the long-term control plan that lays out our plan. But when we are ready to go borrow money to solve the problems with the flooding issues and the sewer backups, et cetera, that we've talked about before, we are going to pay a higher premium for borrowing that money if our bond rating does indeed go down because of this situation that we're talking about. So it impacts every taxpayer, every voter, every citizen in some way, shape, or form. And I just think that's important to point that out. And I know you had another question, and I kind of glazed over it. So give it to me again one more time.
I'll give it to you again. I've asked you this before, and the answer has always been this is an elected official, and the people choose their elected officials. So there will be an election at one point where this elected official, City Auditor Landon, will face the voters again. Should Auditor Landon resign his position?
And yeah, that was the other question that I have resisted in answering. And again, you know, this is a difficult question to answer because the voters selected him. And he won a fair and square election, and I do understand that. But after today's meeting, I have reached the conclusion that if the federal funds coming to those departments that I just mentioned are in any way jeopardized, then yes, I think he should resign. So we don't know what kind of jeopardy they're in yet. We will have a better insight into that come September 30th to see if the audit miraculously gets completed and then the federal documentation is sent off and then we're still qualified for federal funds.
For people listening to this, how does this happen? What's the best guess? How does something like this happen to where we get to this day, this point, where this meeting happens, and $2.5 million hangs in the balance, Transit Senior Center, September 30th, 6 weeks from now?
Yeah, that's something that I really haven't put a lot of thought into. You know, to qualify to run for the positions in the city of Marion government, you have to be 18 years old, a registered voter, and you have to live in the city of Marion, and of course you cannot be a felon in the state of Ohio. So when you look at those qualifications, there really are no more qualifications except for maybe to be the law director, which you have to be a licensed attorney, and obviously to be a judge, you have to be an attorney and have practiced law for so many years. But for the others, city council, city auditor, city treasurer, mayor, none. That's it. I already gave you the qualifications. You know, and I like to think that what I brought to the mayor's office was a number of years on city council, and prior to that, a number of years of just real life experience, and not only as an eighth grade American history teacher, but also the work that I did prior to becoming a teacher in state government and working in political campaigns for 5 years. So I don't know that we always see our elected officials nowadays, because the electorate seems to not to want to elect those that have institutional knowledge and an understanding of how government works and what good government is. So it's up to the voters.
To walk into this meeting today basically blind to these particular issues, that the books have not been reconciled, that the $2.5 million hangs in the balance, a deadline of September the 30th, what was your personal feeling as you're being told this and realized this afternoon?
Well, after the years of experience that I've been on in municipal government, I have said, and I think I said it this morning, that I have never had to be concerned as a councilman or a mayor that an audit might not get done and that we might be in jeopardy of losing federal funds. So I was pretty enraged, disgusted. You pick the word. I probably felt the emotion.
Does this fall on one person? I mean, we can say other things. We can say illnesses. We can say people who work in the office. We can say voters' choice, not being informed of people's qualifications. But at the end of the day, what we're facing now, does it fall on Auditor Landon's shoulders?
Where does the buck stop? I think that's the question. The buck's got to stop somewhere. Somebody has to be responsible for it. And that was one of my questions to the state auditor, is how do we hold the person responsible accountable? When you look at our society today, on so many different levels, we don't hold people accountable for their actions. That's why we have so many problems that we have in today's society. You have to hold people accountable for their actions.
Did they have an answer for this?
No, they did not.
How do you feel someone should be held accountable for this, aside from resignation, leaving their position?
Well, I think you should show any shred of honor and dignity and resign if our federal funds are truly jeopardized. In fact, that may take a while because we don't know when the feds might cut us off, and I want to stress might, but that September 30th documentation will be the key on whether we're in jeopardy of losing those funds. I don't know. I guess my fear is we see this more and more in our elected officials. We definitely have seen it more and more here locally. We didn't used to see this locally. Not at all. When I first got on council, I think about some of the council members that I served with. I could never imagine them doing things like this. Never not taking responsibility and being held accountable. Whether they were a councilman, a former city auditor, a former mayor, it just would have been inconceivable to think of something of this magnitude. So I'm not sure what we do, but the voters have made the decision, so we all may suffer the consequences.
Oh, we've got two quick questions here, and I thank you so much for coming in at night. I know it's been quite a day for you. And I hate to ask a hypothetical question, but clearly the city auditor, I don't think, wants to put $2.5 million in jeopardy. I don't think he wants all this publicity that he's been getting in the last year. I don't think he wants the city to be fined all this money from the IRS. What do you make of it in general? What's going on there, in your opinion?
Well, I would hate you know how I hate hypotheticals.
I know, that's why I prefaced it there.
I would only be speculating my answer, and so I want to preface my answer by saying that I'm not convinced that the city auditor grasps the gravity of the situation.
Early on, you said red flags, that this sent up red flags to the state auditor, that extensions, books have not been reconciled. What does that mean on that level? What is their belief, fear? Was there any conjecture in this meeting at all today?
The state auditors are highly professional. These are career people. They're career accountants that work for state auditor Keith Faber. Clearly they understand the political implications. I explained them. They understand my position and my duties and my responsibilities, and they understand the duties and responsibilities of the elected municipal auditor in the state of Ohio. You know, what his what he should be doing under the Ohio Constitution and the Ohio Revised Code. So we didn't go down that road at all, and I appreciate not going down that road.
And just if people are just tuning in and didn't happen to hear the show this morning, the reason Auditor Landon was not in on this meeting is because he has let somebody know that he's been diagnosed with COVID. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. I am not here to confirm whether he does, but it is my understanding, and I do have every belief that that is true.
And at this point, we'll just wait to hear. Is that where we are, to wait to hear from him at this point?
Well, I don't know. I think my next step is to make sure that members of City Council understand the gravity of the situation. And, you know, we touched on this morning as well. I am not confident that all 9 voting members of City Council understand the situation. And if some of them, let me just stress, some of them continue to remain silent, then they're complicit.
Mm. Right now, is that a party lines issue?
It is indeed. Mm. Not 100% though.
Okay.
There's at least one member of the opposing party who is the chairman of the select committee looking into the auditor's misdeeds that I believe clearly knows what's going on.
Quick question as we wrap up here. On a scale of 1 to 10, just for the listeners so they understand, how big a deal is this in your into your fourth term as mayor here, and yours on city council?
Well, I've faced a number of challenges in my tenure, and sometimes I look back and I envy Jack Kellogg's 16 years as mayor, that he had some challenges, that's for sure, but didn't face some of the challenges that I've had to. This is probably a 9.5 or a 10, losing the federal funds, not getting an audit done, not reconciling the books. And this is just what I know right now. I'm concerned about what do we not know that hasn't been done that should have been done.
Mayor Scott Schertzer, I can't thank you enough for coming in tonight. Again, this interview was taped on Tuesday night, a little after 8 o'clock at the WWGH Radio Studios on South Prospect Street. Now we return to live programming.
Government works.
And there we go. That's the rest of the story. As they say, that is what we learned in the 2:30 meeting yesterday that Mayor Scott Schertzer and his staff had with the state auditors. Now, we have reached out to Auditor Robert Landon. We have not heard anything as of yet, but that's what happened. Now, if anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz here. We'll reserve the next 15 minutes for conversation here, because this is a little... obviously, you could tell that the mayor had some very strong feelings there. And I've known the mayor a long time, and I don't know if I've ever quite seen him that way. And I think that's a nice thing that radio does, is you can hear voice inflection and things of that nature. But if you have an opinion on this, give me a buzz here. That's why we're here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, essentially, as I understand it at this point, the big issue here is that the state auditors have no proof or no evidence that the books have been done here in Marion for quite some time, and that if those books are not present when the federal money is applied for, which I believe is the deadline for that is September the 30th, so fast approaching, that a lot of money could go away, possibly in the neighborhood of $2.5 million, which would impact the senior center, Marion Area Transit, and I guess police and fire. So that's essentially the meat and potatoes of that story. Now, again, if you have anything to say, this would be your chance. 740-383-9944. A lot to digest there, 47 minutes past the hour here. WWGH Radio time. It's interesting, and we're trying to bring you the news here as it happens. And again, I want to thank the mayor for coming in last night at that late hour to explain to us what exactly was going on. And again, I want to say, Robert Landon, we understand that he's suffering with COVID. I hope it's a mild case, and I hope he's doing well, and I hope he feels better soon. But we hope we hear from him at some point to know exactly what is going on with the books here in Marion. So there you have it. 740-383-9944. If anybody has anything they would like to say, give me a buzz. A lot of interesting questions there in that interview as to what really is going on here on the whole in Marion. Now, do want to let everybody know there is a big event. It's become a big event here in Marion. Coming up, meet and dine with the presidents of the United States of America, Saturday, November the 6th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. That will be at Dayspring Westland Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road, right here in Marion. The evening begins with a gala reception and the arrival of the presidents, followed by a buffet dinner of dishes taken from the White House cookbook. Event pricing is $40 for VIP seating. Now, apparently at this point, VIP seating is sold out. So $35 for general seating and $20 for a general seating for a child 5 to 12 years old. Now, the VIP seating with the presidents. The speaking presidents will be George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren G. Harding, and John F. Kennedy. The non-speaking presidents will be James Madison, U.S. Grant, Chester Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, Barbara Bush, First Lady, how about that? Barbara Bush, James M. Cox will be the master of ceremonies, and special guest speaker Mary Ellen Withrow. So that will be a lot of fun. Seating is limited. So call 740-387-4255 to get yourself a ticket. That is the meet and dine with the presidents of the United States of America. Now, another story yesterday that caused a whole lot of hubbub was the Ohio State University saying, I believe what they're saying is that students and faculty need to be vaccinated. Now that the Pfizer vaccine has been approved by the FDA, that seems to be the route that they are going. Now, what will this mean? Will kids pull out of Ohio State? You know, mostly these are adults. Will faculty leave? I don't know. Now that the vaccination is approved by the FDA, I guess schools and other groups can mandate this vaccination. Because the rule had been, as long as it's not approved by the FDA, you cannot mandate it. But now that Pfizer has been approved by the FDA, I guess it can be mandated. So here we are, off and running with another story. If anybody has any thoughts on that one, 51 minutes past the hour here, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What's on your mind this morning? You know, it could be that everybody is just completely worn out from the heat over the last few days. It has been just completely awful. But we go on. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I don't know how Robert Landon can even show his face in public, you know.
Well, what bothered you most about the interview this morning?
About the books not being done.
Well, yeah, I think...
You know, for 2020. There ought to be some way that if a person holds that position, that if things aren't getting done, that he can be relieved of his duties. You know, and, you know, somebody appointed, you know, to cover, you know, we just can't keep going, you know, with these problems, you know, and losing, you know, funding for the city and stuff. You know, it's pretty clear he ain't going to resign, but if he's not capable, you know, there ought to be some way of getting rid of him.
Well, you know, I don't really know what the laws are in Marion for a procedure like that. I don't know if city council could take a vote for removal. I don't know. I'm guessing somewhere on the books there is some kind of rule for removal. I would think there would have to be.
You would think so, you know. You know, you think if there was, the mayor, you know, might have gave us an insight on that, but, you know, this just can't keep going on. If I was him, I wouldn't go out in public. I wouldn't show my face. I'd be embarrassed.
Well, the question that I asked the mayor, which we really don't know the answer to, you know, certainly Robert Landon is a citizen of Marion. He was a first ward councilman. He ran for this office. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to run for an office and win that office against an incumbent. I don't think he wants this bad publicity. I don't think he wants to lose money for the city of Marion or lose this grant money. What do you think is going on?
I just think he's incompetent. You know, I know, you know, nobody wants that, you know, kind of publicity or something, but, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, there ought to be a, you know, for any auditor or any person coming in, there ought to be a, you know, a records of, you know, of your duties, you know, what's expected of you, you know, the books that you have to keep, the records you have to keep, what you got to show, you know, maybe he don't have no, you know, he didn't know, there is no manual or nothing, you know, for him to follow, I don't know, but.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on there. I hope we hear from Robert Landon because maybe there is a reason. I mean, you never know. I mean, there could be a reason. Now, I have invited Auditor Landon on this show several times. He has opted not to come on. I continue to invite him. It would not be an unhappy environment. We just ask him questions. And if there are reasons for these things, well, that'd be good.
Well, I think if he had reason for these things, he'd already be on. You know, other than, you know, to tell you he's incompetent and he don't know what he's doing. You know, that's pretty much what it boils down to, really.
Well, what do you think's going to happen? Now we're on a deadline because these books have to be finished before September the 30th. September the 30th is the deadline for the federal money. And I would think that if those grants cannot be filled out, that there is going to be some problem.
Well, you know, we're going to lose funding. You know, the transit bus and the police and fire, you know, is going to suffer. He's still going to be there, and we ain't going to be able to get rid of him until there's a new election. And heaven forbids that he gets elected again.
Well, we shall see what happens. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything on your mind this morning. We've still got time to cover the waterfront, and your opinion is valid to this conversation. This is a local Marion story, to be sure. This is not Columbus. This is not Ohio. This is not national. This is a local story. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 57 minutes past the hour here. WWGH Radio Time, currently discussing the situation in the city with Auditor Robert Landon and the city books not being reconciled for the year of 2020, which is the issue that is causing some worry as we head into the, well, let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning, Scott. I wanted to kind of give some information on Mr. Landon. He was the manager of my credit union prior to becoming the auditor. And I had many conversations with him over time about different things. And he practically lied to the credit union superiors when he was hired. They knew he was a first ward councilman, which they thought was great because, you know, they want your people to be involved in their community. But when they found out he was running for auditor, they said, well, how are you going to do this? And he said, oh, I can do it on a part-time basis if I'm elected. So to me, that was either he flat-out lied to his superiors or he just absolutely didn't know what the auditor job entailed. As far as I know, he doesn't have any background in auditing. I don't even think he has a four-year degree. But it concerns me. I'm not a citizen or a city member. I live in a township. But it just shows me it's another case of where people vote party. They don't vote whether the person really has the ability or the background or the experience to do that job. So I think this one is on the citizens of Marion that put him in there and took out a very competent auditor that we'd had for years.
Knowing him, what do you make of this, hearing that all this has happened?
Well, you know, it's that's a good question, because I was, at first when I talked with him, the reason we had something in common to even talk about was that one time my father was the first ward councilman, the same thing he was. So we talked a little bit about that, the duties of the job, and I think he was probably very good as a councilman, but when he was courted to run for auditor, I think that was above and beyond what his abilities were, and I don't even think he realized the work, the amount of work, and it's my understanding when he went in there, he basically cleaned house and let all of his experience go, which again, that's not the smartest thing to do when you're new and you don't even know the job. Why would you let go all the people that did know what they were doing?
It certainly is an interesting story. Now, as far as his work at the bank, was everything okay there?
Well, certainly there wasn't any. Yeah, it was a credit union. But our credit union acts like we're family in there, and it just, it's like he was the redheaded stepchild when he came in. He just never quite had the personality to talk with the members, interact with the members. He seemed to always want to be sitting in his office playing on his computer as opposed to being out there greeting people, talking to people, that sort of thing.
Well,
personality-wise, I just don't think... I don't think he's a very, shall we say, outgoing person. I think he's, the fact that he hasn't even come on to your show or called in, or it's like he's hiding under a bush somewhere.
Well, the door is always open, and I thank you for calling in.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. I'll leave them open here for another minute or so if you have anything to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly an interesting conversation here to be having. This morning, I will be on with Glenn Coble from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Swap Shop will be on today from, today's Progressive Life, 12:10 to 1 p.m., and then Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. We can take one more call if somebody would like to call. 740-383-9944. If not, we are going to go to break. We've got some announcements, messages, news, and weather here on WWGH Radio, your news station in Marion, to be sure. We will be back right after this short but very important break. Don't you dare touch that dial.
Beautiful job with that. But she's always so friendly. And it upsets me when I hear people